All right, welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. I am not joined, and I have a little tear coming down my face, by my co-host today, Chris Thornton, as he is busy with a double at work, but you can be sure to follow him on Twitter at MistoCristofo. Also, be sure to follow myself at Zach_Goodall and the Locked On Jaguars handle at Locked On Jaguars. You can find us on iTunes, you can find us on Spotify, you can find us on Google Play, or wherever you're listening to us from right now, go ahead and throw us a subscription, leave a rating, leave a review, let us know what we're doing well and what we're doing not so well. We can fix it up and be sure to give you the best content we can going forward, as well as bookmark the Locked On Jaguars website, LockedOnJaguars.com. A lot of content coming your way as the Saints are marching into town this week as the Jaguars are ready to kick off their preseason. Football is back, folks. The New Orleans Saints will be at TIA Bank Field on Thursday night, kickoff at 7 o'clock. You can find that game on CBS 47, Fox 30, or as announced today in a partnership with Universal Orlando Resorts, the Jaguars will provide a streaming option for the preseason on their website as well as on the mobile app in specific markets around Florida, parts of Georgia, as well as the UK and Mexico. So if you're listening in any of those places, be sure to check that out. But we are going to go ahead and get into it today. I have got a guest coming on with me in a little bit to talk about the New Orleans Saints as they get ready to march in to Jacksonville, kind of give us a preview as to what we'll see out of that team. I will reveal that guest as soon as he's ready to come on. But as for now, we're going to go ahead and recap today's practice. It was closed to the public, has been the past couple of days. Their open sessions are over. However, I was on the other side of the ropes, got to get in there, check it all out, watch how the team was doing in preparation for the Saints to head into town. We'll go over some of the injuries as we head into this week. Doug Marrone, in his press conference, has ruled out two players, that being pup-listed defensive end Dante Fowler Jr., no idea when he will be returning, as well as defensive tackle Eli Ankou, who was injured last week during practice. I believe it was on Thursday. He hurt his knee by the looks of it. There weren't too many specifics given out, but he was slow to get up, hoping that everything's okay for him. For the rest of the guys, we had, by the looks of it, DeAndre Smelter missed practice today. Ankou, like I said before, backup strong side linebacker Brooks Ellis, who's been doing a little competing for the job, but really that seems to be Leon Jacobs' job to lose. And rookie defensive end Taven Bryan missed today with an abdomen injury. He's been listed as day-to-day by Coach Marrone. Calais Campbell was on the field. He was working over on the side of the field, for that matter, with his pads on. He has a calf injury. They're not sure if he will be playing in the game this week. Like I said before, the only two players that have been listed as out so far are Fowler and Ankou. The rest are up for decision when that time comes. But the rest of camp looked pretty solid today. It was a hot one, much like the past couple of days. I wasn't there the past couple of days, but I was told that it was sweltering those days. They thought I was out there. I was complaining a little bit about how hot it was, and everyone said, it's been like this. If you were here the other day, you'd have seen it as well. It was real, real hot. NFL Network was on set. Brian Baldinger, Maurice Jones-Drew, and a couple of other guys were there watching the Jaguars practice. The quarterbacks kind of had an easy day. The rest of the team, I guess, did as well. They cut practice short about 40 minutes, but quarterbacks only threw 12 passes. Bortles went 6 of 7 with one interception to Jalen Ramsey, which I'll talk about in a minute. Cody Kessler went 5 of 6. He just had one. He had a throwaway. Technically, he would have went 5 of 7, but they had another throwaway that I didn't count against him because it looked like Donald Payne had a would-be sack. You heard the whistle go off before he let the ball go, so I didn't really count that one on him. But that interception by Ramsey was something, just a thing of beauty when you watched it, and they've got the clip up on the Jaguars handle. That was a time we couldn't record during the team session, but they do have it on the team handle. He went up, he was tightly covering Dante Moncrief, who has been back out on the field with the team. Just perfect coverage, nothing could have been better than that. He went up and leapt up for the ball to go knock it away from Moncrief. Really well-placed ball from Bortles as well, like no issue on where the ball was put. It was a great throw. Ramsey leapt up, grabbed it, and while he had his arm hooked by Moncrief as they were both going to the ground, Ramsey somehow managed to pull that thing back into his stomach chest area and come down with it. He got up and proceeded to punt the ball away. Many are assuming that that's kind of a little pretend jab at Bortles when he scored a running touchdown a couple of years ago and ran into the end zone in London and punted the ball into the stands. Whether that was, I'm not really sure. I'm sure Ramsey was just giving him a little bit of a hard time as a joke. But regardless, it was widely regarded as one of the plays of training camp as a whole, really. So that was probably the highlight of the day, highlight of camp. Like I said, the quarterbacks really didn't do too much, so we didn't see too much out of the receivers. We didn't see too much out of the running backs, because the running backs never go, you know, full go finishing plays during camp. It's hard to assess that. We'll have to wait for game action. But some of the other takeaways I had, Jeremy Parnell, as he's getting a little older, you know, he's not getting all the reps during every practice that a normal starter would. It's kind of to be expected. I think he's around 31, 32, something like that. So not really anything to hold, like hang your hat on or anything like that. Not anything to worry about, definitely. But in his place, they had William Pales, who's competing for the swing tackle position. He took reps with the first team, second team, third team, got a lot of reps out there. So they must like him enough to give him all those reps, see what he can do. Other than that, not too much to take away, except for Tyler Patman on the defensive side, the cornerback who had 8 interceptions in last year's training camp, has had several flashy plays during this training camp, including a couple of interceptions, if I recall correctly, some pass breakups, some great one-on-ones. He took first-team reps at the nickel corner position over DJ Hayden, first time we've seen that, but defensive coordinator Todd Wash did mention the other day during his press conference that Patman, as well as Trey Herndon, undrafted free agent rookie out of Vanderbilt, will be competing for the nickel spot as well. So it'll be really interesting to see exactly how that battle goes on from here as the preseason goes on. When we come back, we will be previewing this Saints game, the Jaguars versus Saints at TIAA Bank Field for this upcoming Thursday with my buddy from the Saints Wire, John Sigler.
Hey Jaguars fans, the NFL season is right around the corner. This season, don't sit around watching the Jaguars from home when you can be at TIAA Bank Field cheering in person thanks to Vivid Seats. They offer great prices for NFL games and all live events. And Vivid Seats is offering Locked On Jaguars listeners 10% off your first ticket order when you use our exclusive promo code Locked On. That's Locked On, all one word. This is for new customers only and good through the end of August. Preseason or regular season tickets are available right now. The Jaguars kick off their home schedule September 16th against the New England Patriots, and you can be there for all the excitement. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. Go to vividseats.com or download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for 10% off your first order. The offseason is over, the NFL is back, and Vivid Seats wants to help you get to the game.
I am joined by my buddy John Sigler, who you can follow on Twitter at John_Sigler. He is the Saints expert covering the team for the Saints Wire. He was formerly with Canal Street Chronicles of SB Nation, so he is a former SB Nation brother of mine, as I used to be with Big Cat Country. That's how we kind of crossed paths. But he is here to join me to talk about this Jaguars versus Saints game, give us a little perspective on exactly what we'll be seeing from the opposition when the teams take the field on Thursday night at TIAA Bank Field. John, how are you doing? Are you ready for football to be back?
Man, I cannot wait. We've been living in the desert for months and months now, and we finally get something that looks like a meaningful football game. So things are trending up over here. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. Hopefully it will, you know, be as fun as a real meaningful game would be. However, I'm not expecting too much out of the Jaguars starters. I say they're probably going to be out there for probably one or two series, but we'll flip that to the Saints side. How long do you think the starters are going to be in before they start bringing in the depth?
Yeah, the high water mark for the Saints offense and the Sean Payton era is like 12 snaps of having the whole unit together in the first preseason game. So I imagine they'll probably only play the first series. Possibly the second, if something goes wrong, they go three and out. There's an unfortunate turnover, something like that. But I wouldn't expect to see much of those guys together. Now, the Saints are prone to getting some extra run with starters who have lost time in the offseason coming back from injury. The candidate this year is Andrix Pete, the starting left guard. He exited the NFC playoffs back in January with a broken leg. The Saints have been kind of slow bringing him back up to speed, get him some run, and I think we'll probably see more of him than any other starter come Thursday. On the defensive side of the ball, probably much the same. I doubt we see a whole lot of Marshawn Lattimore and Marcus Williams, you know, these rookies who made so much noise last year. Cameron Jordan, the all-pro defensive end, may not even take the field. The Saints have been kind of cautious with him, coming off of, I believe, a shoulder surgery tune-up earlier in the offseason. So probably won't see much of the Saints starters to kick it off.
And you mentioned several stars that the Saints have on both sides of the ball. Obviously, on defense, you have Cam Jordan. On offense, you got guys like Michael Thomas. Back over on defense, I forgot to mention Marcus Williams. With that being said, those guys might not get that many snaps. So who are you really looking forward to out of this depth part of the team, whether it be new faces to the team or guys that are relatively unproven coming up and making an impact? You know, who are you looking forward to seeing? I'll give mine, being a national champion fan myself, UCF's own Tre'Quan Smith. But I know there's some guys there like Trey Hendrickson on defense, Alex Anzalone, who are both returning into their second year from injury. Just some of those guys, but as well as who are some other players you're really looking forward to seeing once those second teamers, third teamers start to take the field?
Yeah, the guys you mentioned are definitely high on my list. Tre'Quan Smith, like you said, national champion from the UCF program. He has the coaching staff very excited, and I mean, as you guys saw last season, for good reason. He is just a very, very good deep threat down the field. The Saints are starting to do some more things with him closer to the line of scrimmage, which is kind of what they did with Ted Ginn Jr. last year, to get him more involved in the passing game and more elements of it than he saw in his previous stops. Tre'Quan had made a very nice play in Sunday's practice off of a wide receiver screen. He had caught it right off the line and blazed upfield quite effectively. So he's someone I think they're going to target in a couple of different ways, just to see how he performs in live action on defense. Again, the names you mentioned are ones to highlight. Trey Hendrickson, the defensive end out of Florida Atlantic. And then Alex Anzalone, Calzone, AutoZone, the man of many names, from the linebacker from Florida. He's someone who's been very exciting in training camp. I've made several posts about him over at Saints Wire about the turnovers he's produced. And you know, he's running around the field like his long blonde hair is on fire. So he's somebody to keep an eye on. Other names who may be a little more under the radar, Keith Kirkwood is a receiver from the Temple Owls program who is getting a surprising amount of attention with the first team offense. He's an undrafted free agent, but the Temple coaching staff loved him. The Saints coaching staff appreciate a lot of what he brings to the game as well. And he and Tre'Quan Smith are two young guys who Drew Brees is spending a lot of time with after practice, running red zone drills, third down drills. Can you kind of see what they've got in these critical situations?
Now, we will keep it on the young guys, kind of the unproven guys. We can talk a little bit about Marcus Davenport, the Saints' first-round pick. They traded up for him, coming in hopefully being one of the defensive ends of the future opposite of Cameron Jordan. He has been dealing with an injury since camp started. I read a report today from Nick Underhill covering the team that he has missed more practices than he's actually participated in. I'm guessing he won't end up playing this week, but you know, give us a look into what his injury has been and what the team's kind of expecting from him in terms of A, when he'll be back, as well as kind of what his role will be for his first year.
Yeah, so Davenport was drafted to mostly be a third down pass rusher as a rookie, which may sound odd considering the draft capital they gave up to go draft him. The way a lot of guys tell it, he should be starting every down. He should be a 900 snap player. He should be getting every opportunity to get out on the field. But that's just not the vision with him, and it's not where we're at right now. He pulled a muscle last Monday, hasn't taken the field for a week since, though he has been observing practice every day. And he's really focusing on keeping up with the mental aspect of the game as much as the physical, which, as you know, anyone who followed the draft process this year knows that he was a very raw prospect. He hadn't had much experience with a lot of the pro aspects of playing a pass rushing defensive end, even as fundamental as playing out of a 3-point stance. So to his credit, the defensive line coach for the Saints, Ryan Nielsen, has spoken very highly about Davenport. always being the first one in the meeting room, asking the most questions, being the most engaged, being the most involved guy in there, trying to soak up as much information as he can. So he's doing what he can to keep up with the mental side of it. As far as his injury goes, how the Saints are handling it, they approached this the exact same way last year with Marshawn Lattimore, who any draft heads may know, he tweaked his hamstring in a combine workout in March of last year, didn't do anything, didn't run at his pro day, didn't really do much in pre-draft workouts from there on out. And once the Saints got him, they basically had him stay hydrated and take in practice for the first few weeks of training camp. And then once action ramped up with the later preseason games, they worked him in more, and he was ready to go to start the season. So they've established that they're willing to be very cautious, very patient with these highly valued early round draft picks who have some of the potential, but have some soft tissue injury concerns. That's just what we're seeing with Davenport. I'll be surprised if he plays Thursday just because he hasn't been participating in practice for the last week. So we'll get more of a look at him further on down the road.
Now, before we get to predicting anything about the game, we'll just kind of take a look at the Saints as a whole, not even as much regarded to this game. So whether or not they will be taking a lot of snaps this week or if they'll be taking none, who's been your MVP so far during Saints camp this year?
Marcus Williams, a future All-Pro free safety for the New Orleans Saints. people remember Marcus for how poorly the Minnesota-New Orleans divisional round game ended this past January, but he is doing everything in his power to rewrite that narrative and to put it behind him. Marcus has intercepted Drew Brees in three consecutive days of training camp practice. You're seeing everything you want to from him. He almost set a new combine record last offseason, in the vertical jump with a 39.5-inch vert at like 212 pounds, which for a player of his size, that's just extremely rare. And you're seeing that show up in practice now. He's winning these jump ball contests with receivers. He's going up, tracking the ball well, and getting up there in ways that few safeties can. The guy that Drew Brees has likened him to is Ed Reed, as someone who you think you've moved him off of his spot. You think you've got him stepping off of his back foot. He's in an awkward position, but then he goes and makes the play anyway. He just has the range, has the hop, the football IQ to get up there and make a difference. And that's something I think we'll see in the Jags game, even if it's only in the first series or two, where Bortles will see him and know that, hey, this guy's controlling the middle of the field. I need to hit the perimeter more. Or maybe he'll think, you know, I can risk this. I saw what he did against Stephon Diggs. Maybe I can make this throw. And Williams could very well make somebody pay for that. So he's been the MVP of training camp from guys who are there every day, from what I've seen of it. And I really think that he's a contender to make a difference this season
really
in the best possible way.
really hoping to see that growth out of him, because like you said, people know him as the guy on the other end of the Stephon Diggs touchdown. But he was a guy that flashed during his rookie year, and you really are hoping to see that growth. And having multiple days with interceptions in a row off Drew Brees is certainly a feat that you can kind of hold on to. It doesn't matter who you are. That's something that you'll definitely remember for a long time. Now, moving back towards the game, this will be the last thing I ask you before I let you go. What are you predicting for this week's game? I know it's hard to predict the outcome of a preseason game, but kind of looking at it in depth versus depth, you know, what do you like in this matchup for the Saints against the Jaguars, and what's your prediction for the game?
I really appreciate the opportunity the Saints receivers have to go up against the Jaguars secondary. I know we won't see much of Jalen Ramsey and AJ Bouye, but we are going to see a lot of, the undrafted guys. Quentin Meeks is a corner out of Stanford that I was pretty high on in the draft, the pre-draft process. Jags got him, and from what I've heard, he's making a pretty solid, building a pretty solid reputation at Jags camp. So that's somebody who the Saints can throw Traquan Smith and Keith Kirkwood and even possibly Cameron Meredith against and say, okay, go compete with this guy who has done some pretty good things so far, and let's see what you've got. So this is a good opportunity for them to kind of test their mettle and see how they can perform against one of the league's better passing defenses. As far as the score goes, the Saints typically underperform in the preseason, especially on offense. I want to say they've lost like 9 of their last 12 preseason games put together, and they very seldom break the 20-point mark. I don't see that changing just because we'll be relying on a lot of JT Barrett, a lot of Tom Savage, a lot of Taysom Hill at quarterback, and I just don't think the offense is going to perform very smoothly because of the guys quarterbacking it. And then, like we've established, the Jags have a very strong defense, especially against the pass. So I'm just not expecting a ton of points out of this. Should be a fun game for people who appreciate football. But if you're hoping to really light up the fantasy points, I'm not sure this is the contest for you.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Kind of like you said, the Saints will keep it reserved with their starters. I feel like the Jags will probably end up doing the same thing, especially with a couple of guys dealing with injuries, notably Calais Campbell. The last thing they really need to do is have a guy like Campbell missing any more time. So he's got a very minor injury right now, but guys like him and the rest of the veterans, I'm sure, will be very limited in this game. But regardless, football is on our doorstep, with the Saints and Jaguars about to kick off their first preseason action of 2018. John, I want to thank you a lot for coming on and giving us a little look into our competition this week. Go ahead and plug away some of your work where people can find you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. It's always great to come on the show. So you guys can follow me on Twitter at John_Siglerr. That's SIGLERR. And you can catch all of my content over at saintswire.usatoday.com. Like Zach mentioned, I made the move over there from SB Nation's Canal Street Chronicles earlier this month, and it's going well. It's great to be on the platform and keep it moving and getting to talk Saints football.
And when we come back, we will be taking your questions from Twitter, recapping Jaguars training camp, as well as looking forward to the Saints game and the rest of the 2018 season. It is on our doorstep. All right, to kick off our third and final segment of today's Locked On Jaguars episode, I am taking things to Twitter. We are taking your questions, the listeners, fans of Locked On Jaguars, answering them as best we can on here as we get ready for this Saints preseason opener. I was looking for a mix of questions, some stuff, you know, on the game that's coming up. Figured that's probably most important, but as well as just training camp recaps, some looking forward to the season. Got a really good list of questions here. I'll start off with my buddy Boog at _Boog1. He asks, what kind of things are you looking for that Todd Wash, defensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars, can do differently this year? So it's hard to ask exactly what things you're looking for that Todd Wash can do differently, because that's almost as if you're asking him to do things better. And while there are definitely things he can, you know, trim up, you know, do some, fix some things, add some stuff, cut some stuff out, do what he's got to do, the defense was the best in the league last year. Arguably the best in the league, if you want to put it like that, if you want to say the Vikings competed for that, whatever. The bottom line is, I'd say the Jaguars had the best defense in the league. So it's hard to be like, oh, you know, you should still do this, 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 and that. But if you look at some things that he might be able to add to the arsenal with the defense, is you've got a lot of depth, so maybe really start to utilize that depth going forward. And my biggest example would be Calais Campbell, because as you could tell, by the end of last year, he had lost a lot of the motor he had at the start of the year. It's not something to worry about. It's just the fact that he's a 6'8", 300-pound dude who is now entering his 10th season in the NFL at a position that requires so much motor and so much energy that you don't see guys lasting, you know, real long at compared to some other positions on the field. You can't ask Campbell to take on 75% of the snaps this year. I just don't think that, even though you're paying him that type of money, I just don't think you could possibly do that. So you've got guys like rookie first-round pick Taven Bryan, who's learning the five-tech position. You need to rotate him in. Maybe Dewane Smoot, the second-year defensive end, playing the same position as those two. Get him some reps and really start to ease Calais Campbell's workload a little bit, because you want him to make an impact, and there's no doubt he still can. For all we know, he very well could be a high, you know, 8 to 10 sack guy again this year, especially with the talent he has around him. You just can't ask him to do that much. You're now looking at him more as the veteran leader, a guy that's training these young guys that could eventually take over for him. Still a very important role in this defense, don't get me wrong, but that's one thing that I really think they could do. Have these young guys that are going to have roles with the team going forward, starting to learn the positions that they're at, take valuable snaps, and at the same time, keeping the guys rested. The Calais Campbells, the Barry Churches of the defense, stuff like that. Then we go to OG_Jaguars, my buddy Sharif. He says, it's sounding like DJ Chark is having a stellar camp. If he keeps this up and does well in the preseason, is he starting week one? Well, Sharif, you are correct about DJ Chark. Other than today, I don't really remember the last time he had a down day. And it's not that he did anything wrong today, it's just that, like I said, the quarterbacks weren't throwing that much. We really didn't get to see much out of the entire wide receiver group. But, I mean, I have Chark from the days I was there. Granted, I did miss 2 days of practice, Sunday and Monday's practice. But from what I have recorded, he has 16 receptions, all levels of the field. 4 go routes, 2 corners, 3 posts, a curl route, 2 flat routes, 4 slants, and a screen. He's being thrown the ball everywhere, and he's coming down with it. He hasn't had any drop issues since his first day of camp. One of those, I wouldn't even say was too much of his fault. Ball looked like it was thrown a little behind him. I can't blame him for that. Otherwise, I have to say he's been just about perfect throughout camp. And if he can keep this up, you know, he's going to have some competition. If he breaks into the starting rotation even this week, maybe gets some reps with the ones, he might be going up against one of the best corners in the league, that being Marshawn Lattimore. That is going to be a true iron sharpening test. And you have to see if he's able to live up to that. What's nice to know is that he's been going up against the competition that is Jalen Ramsey, AJ Boye, a solid, real solid depth corner, like borderline starter in Tyler Patman. These guys are talented guys. Iron sharpens iron, and I think this has been really, really good for Chark's development. If he can keep this up, I think he's going to be the team's number one receiver at some point through the rest of the year. Maybe not at the start, but over time, kind of like how Keelan Cole came on late last year, I do think Chark is going to end up in the same type of boat. From Asheville Jaguar, what receiver would you cut? This is assuming, I'm assuming that this is about the sixth receiver spot, which has been kept open for, by the looks of it, Rashad Green, Shane Wynn, Jadon Mickens, maybe Alan Lazard. I don't really see any other receivers that would possibly be competing for the spot. Lazard is probably the long shot. I had high hopes for him as a red zone target. He had a little bit of a slow start to camp, but he had a couple day stretch where he was making a lot of impact plays, coming down with really nice adjusted catches in the middle of the field, deep balls, some red zone touchdowns. He was doing a real good job at the end of last week, and I'm curious to see if he can continue to splash during the through the rest of the preseason. I think that gives him the best shot to make, because he has a unique ability at his size, his ability to come down with contested catches. Whereas guys like Green, Mickens, and Wynn are more like slot specialty guys, speedsters who can return punts. They don't really have that red zone quality. And if the team wants a red zone guy, they're obviously going to take Lazard in that case. But at the same time, they still have a competition right now as to who's going to be returning punts. It looks like this week it is going to be Jadon Mickens handling the first team duties. He's had a flashy camp. It seems like every time he catches the ball, no matter if he's tapped off or not, he runs to the end zone. And he full sprints to the end zone. I think he's putting in a lot of work to develop as a receiver. Also, his ability to return punts was obviously seen last year. He returned one for a touchdown, or maybe two. I might be blanking on it. I can't keep the stats all up in my head. It's too much at this point. But he's been flashy. Wynn's been flashy. He's come down with a lot of acrobatic catches. A lot of ones in the red zone, which is hard to see for a guy that's 5'6", but he's been making plays. Rashad Green's been very consistent, hasn't been dropping passes, has brought in a lot almost every day. He's catching the ball out there. So, be really interesting to see. I'd say it's really between the three speedster guys. Probably Green gets it, but it really wouldn't shock me if any of those four, for that matter, get it, especially if Lazard keeps his, you know, what he's been able to do at the end of last week, heading into this week up. But probably one of those three speedster guys, any of them wouldn't really shock me, would end up taking that sixth receiver spot. From Jeff Albanese, he asks, who's going to win the game considering the PT? Sorry, I'm not sure exactly what PT means. Playing time. I'm sorry, I blanked on that. I was reading that on the go. For each team's starters and quality of backups. I'd say neither team's really going to have too much playing time for their starters. It might be the first couple of series. I don't think they'll have a drastic effect on the game. They might be able to put a score up each side and sit out from that point on. I really like the Jaguars' second team depth. I don't think much of their third team depth at all or their camp bodies. I think they've been a lot of guys that will not end up sticking around. Maybe some practice squad guys, but for the most part, it's been their second team has been really, really impressive to me throughout the entire camp. They've really built up depth well on all three phases, offense, defense, special teams, all of that. They've really done it well, whereas on the Saints, there's some flashy names on their second team, especially on defense and second-year players. Trey Hendrickson, Alex Anzalone. There's obviously a lot of depth at running back. Not only do they have Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, but they have Shane Vereen. They've got rookie Boston Scott, who is kind of like a Corey Grant type of running back. So they've got depth there. They've got some guys that can play, but all in all, I like the Jaguars' depth a lot more. They'll play a lot more depth guys throughout the game, especially the second team, and I think that's where the Jaguars will really start to take away the game for themselves, is when that second team is going in and playing so much of the time. From DJ Goldman 35, Dylan Goldman, he asks, would it make sense for the Jags to add Dez? Absolutely not. That being Dez Bryant, free agent wide receiver. They've liked what they've got in their receivers. They've got a really great veteran presence in Marquise Lee, a guy who knows the system, is a poised veteran. Dante Moncrief is also a veteran. He's new, but he's a veteran face. He's been with a quarterback in Andrew Luck, who has been just... he's a great, great presence for a young growing receiver, even though Luck has been sidelined for, 2 years now. It's still, you can't replace the value that Luck has probably given to Moncrief to turn him into a veteran receiver. So they've got two guys that really like leading that room, and some young guys carving out roles for themselves, like Chark, like Dede Westbrook, like Keelan Cole, whoever's going to be fighting for that sixth spot as well. I think they've already got their five locks at receiver, because there's a question of whether or not they'll even keep a sixth. I think they will. I think it'll be one of those guys, but at that point, you just don't have the type of room to bring in a Dez Bryant, and I don't really like the idea of what he'd bring to that locker room and into that wide receiver room at this point, because they already have clear roles set up for each guy. From Red Rollins 1, any update on Taven Bryan's abdomen injury? Hopefully it's minor. We've been given no update other than that the injury is a day-to-day injury. Not sure if he's going to end up playing this week. We will see. We'll probably find out on Wednesday or on Thursday. Then from Fly High Tide, Pales, Wells, or Richardson for swing tackle? Right now I'm saying Pales. I think they'll really utilize Richardson as a depth guy and try and bring him along slowly as the right tackle of the future. But Pales is a guy that the team seems to like. They didn't play him at all last year, but they claimed him before the season even started. Have brought him along slowly. I'm pretty sure he was an undrafted guy originally with Chicago. And like I said, today he had reps with the first team, second team, and third team out at right tackle with Parnell being out. They didn't switch him out for anyone. He just took all the reps that he could. I'm interested to see how he develops, if he gets any time. He's a big dude. Guy that the team really seems to like, obviously, by the playing time they're giving him. And Wells, Wells has experience in the system. I don't think he's any good. I'm curious to see if he actually makes the final 53-man, considering they have Pales and Richardson, who could probably both swing both positions. Both seem more comfortable with right tackle, but you can kind of have them as your two depth guys and call it a day. So they'll bring Richardson along slowly. I like Pales as this year's swing tackle, and Wells wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't make the final 53. And that'll just about do it for us here at Locked On Jaguars. Be sure to throw me a follow at @Zach_Goodall, my absent co-host Chris Thornton at @MistoCristofo, and at Locked On Jaguars. Leave a subscription on any of the podcast listening services that you use. We are most likely there. Leave a rating, leave a review, do what you got to do, and bookmark the Locked On Jaguars website. We've got more content coming to you this week. We are ready for this game on Thursday. We are ready for the Saints to come marching in. We are ready for football.